Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
I tend to think of the Gosling as a poem. The critical opening phrase of this poem will always be the grip, which the hands unite to form a single unit. Slowly and slowly, the club head is led back, pulled into position not by the hands, but by the body, which turns away from the target, shifting weight to the right side without shifting balance. Tempo is everything, perfection unattainable. As the body coils now to the top of the swing, there's a slight hesitation, a little nod to the gods. Now the weight begins shifting back to the left, pulled by the powers inside the earth. It's alive, this swing, a living sculpture, and down through contact, always down, striking the ball crisply, with character. There was only one other acceptable theory about how to hit a golf ball.
Oh, boy. Well, what's the other theory?
Grip it and rip it.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, here's Hardy.
Good morning and welcome to the Sports Hub Golf Club. I got a little bounce back there, Kristen. It's a glorious Saturday morning. I don't know if you're headed to the golf course or what's going on with you and golf today, but it's going to be a beautiful day. So you got that going for you, which is nice. I'm going to go ahead and take these off momentarily and get to work. So a little bit later on the show this morning, I'm going to be talking with somebody from, I say Mass Golf, but really the First Tee program is an entity unto itself. And I have talked about First Tee over the years. I have known about First Tee through other people who have been involved with it and from, you know, the support that it gets from the likes of Tiger Woods. And I don't know that much about it. So as a means to correct that, we're going to be speaking with the director of Mass Golf, of the First Tee here in Massachusetts later on this morning, which is essentially, if you don't know anything about First Tee, it's a way to get kids involved with golf, but they do so much more. And it's such a cool program and a great idea. And they bring, you know, kids to the golf course that ordinarily wouldn't be there, and it's a way to get them started in the game, and then a lot of other stuff surrounding it. From what I'm led to believe, we'll have our conversation here in a little while. To begin though, this morning, this came as a shock to a few people. The PGA Tour wrapped up last weekend with the Tour Championship and the end of the FedEx Cup playoffs. So, you know, we saw Dustin Johnson crowned the winner with the $15 million. He won the tournament. Great. That's the end of the PGA Tour season. Congratulations. Hooray. Now what? Oh, 4 days later, we start the new season. It's unbelievable. The new season has started. The 2020/2021 PGA Tour season has begun, started. Safeway Open, the third round is today. PGA Tour has been doing something like this for years. Now, this year's calendar is, I believe, more compact than ever. There have been at times a week or two in between the last official tournament of the previous season and the start of the next. This year, there is no time. And it's going to get really weird because, as you know, we're going to have the U.S. Open for 2020. Essentially, the U.S. Open and the Masters. Now, neither one have virtually anything to do with the PGA Tour. You know, the U.S. Open is a USGA event, and the Masters is a private tournament. It's an invitational. It's the Masters Invitational. But they take place in conjunction with and with full cooperation with the PGA Tour, obviously. and they take place in the middle of the PGA Tour season. The Masters, of course, was supposed to take place back in April. The U.S. Open was supposed to take place in June. Instead, the U.S. Open will take place next week, and the Masters will take place in November. So essentially, the U.S. Open, the Masters and U.S. Open that were to take place in the middle of the 2019-2020 PGA Tour season, that U.S. Open, that Masters for last season will take place in the at the start of this season. Look, it doesn't really matter for PGA Tour purposes, I don't think, because the things that are on the line for PGA Tour players, they change. There are eligibility requirements, you know, to get into, you know, the Masters and the U.S. Open, the most democratic of all the championships. You know, that has its own way of getting in, and literally anybody can get in. Anybody can, you know, anybody with a handicap of, I believe, or an index of 2 or better, you can go to qualifiers and you can try and qualify for the U.S. Open. But it's just going to be weird. Chalk it up to another weird thing that's going on in this year, 2020, because of COVID and the scheduling of yet another event. This time it's the PGA Tour. So let's work a little backwards here. Going back to the end of last season, which was, again, last week, and the Tour Championship in Atlanta, Dustin Johnson. I don't know if you watched any of the tournament, but as a means to have an exciting playoff, this is what the PGA Tour has come up with now for a second straight year. The points leader in the FedEx Cup point standings started the tournament last week, the Tour Championship, round one. Dustin Johnson began the tournament as he teed it up. Day one, first shot of the tournament, he was 10 under par. And then on a sliding scale, the other players in the field were either 9 under, 8 under, 5, all the way down to starting at even par. I hate it. I can't stand it. It's not fooling anybody. It has nothing to do with the way golf is normally played, unless you're talking about giving strokes via handicap during your matches or tournaments at your golf course or at your club. It's not the way the PGA Tour is meant to be played. Whoever goes out there and plays the best over the course of generally four rounds wins the tournament. Now, because this is the end and the culmination of the season-long FedEx Cup points race, they have tinkered with various ways of doing it throughout the year, throughout the years. Their latest solution, as I said last year and again this year, is to have the points leader start the tournament, start the final tournament of the year at 15 under or at 10 under par. Now, why do they do this? They want anyone who wins the tournament to end up winning the big cash prize. You may remember Tiger Woods, who ended up winning the tournament. Was that last year, I guess? Yeah. No, 2 years ago. Let me tell you, it's been nuts. Who can remember? 2018, Tiger Woods won the Tour Championship. Huge, huge, you know, sea of people out there following him around. It was, you know, his first real tournament that he won. And then he went on to win the Masters in 2019. But he didn't win the big money prize because he hadn't amassed enough FedEx Cup points to win the grand prize. So you've got like two celebrations. You've got one for Tiger Woods and this sea of people and everybody feeling great. And oh, by the way, who was it? Justin Rose, who ended up winning the money? Like, who cares? FedEx did not like that. PGA Tour did not like that. Nobody thought it was right. But what's really not right is starting a tournament and having one guy at 10 under par before anybody tees it up. It's just dumb. They need to change it. And everybody's got a theory or a different way that they think it would work. To me, the most obvious answer is to narrow the field to the point where, okay, Dustin Johnson may have had, you know, a seemingly insurmountable lead in terms of FedEx Cup points going into last weekend. But narrow the field down to, if it has to be only 8, 10, 12 guys, so be it. Whoever ends up winning the tournament wins it. You make the final leg, the Tour Championship in Atlanta, worth enough points to where whoever ends up winning that tournament, without starting with any kind of a handicap, one way or the other, ends up winning the money. That's how we're used to it, you know? That's how we're used to it in all sports. If you amass a regular season record, oh, I don't know, say like the Patriots, right? This is a crazy notion, right? Imagine a team going like 16-0 and then winning the divisional round and a conference championship. It would be akin to then giving the Patriots, well, listen, you guys are 18-0 at this point. Who are you playing in the Super Bowl? The Giants? Well, you know, this is supposed to be the culmination of a season-long campaign here. We're going to start the Patriots off in this game 14-0. All right, guys, go out there, kick off. No. If you don't play well enough in the last game, you don't win at all, regardless of how you've played earlier in the year. Is it fair? Is it a complete tallying of the points and of the accomplishments and of the way you've played all season long? No. But that's why we talk about things like clutch, you know? That's why we look at guys like Marcus Smart from last night in the game 7 that the Celtics had against the Raptors and say, "Yep, that's why." That's why it comes down to a singular moment. That's what we like. We don't like having a guy getting a 10-stroke advantage just because of the way he may have played back in March. Nobody cares about what happened in March. I care about what's happening this weekend. And I don't care for a guy starting a tournament at 10 under par when other guys are out there having to make up a 10-stroke deficit so they can win this thing. Figure it out. Narrow the field. Make the points worth more or less throughout the season and at the final tournament so that anybody in that final leg who wins the tournament wins the FedEx Cup without any handicap one way or the other. That's what they need to do. All right. So now that that's out of the way and we've wrapped up last season, we'll get to this season. We'll get to the tournament that's taking place this weekend, the Safeway Open. Some kind of sad news from the world of golf with regard to John Daly. I don't know if you heard about that, but we'll get into that story. And we'll have our conversation with Kyle from the First Tee of Massachusetts, all coming up here this morning on the Sports Hub Golf Club.
Constantly hitting it from the rough. This is the show for you. The Sports Hub Golf Club with Hardy on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, welcome back to the Sports Hub Golf Club. Let's grab a couple of phone calls here. If you don't mind. Try Matt in Rhode Island. Matt, you're on with Hardy this morning. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, good morning, Hardy. Love you during the week. I love the show.
Thanks,
buddy. Really good stuff. I'm down in Providence. I played amateur and junior golf and amateur golf my whole life, playing at municipal courses and stuff. So I heard the first thing you were talking about the First Tee organization. I just wanted to give you some information about Buttonhole, which is a nonprofit organization designed for the same model of the First Tee in Providence. Billy Andrade and Brad Faction spearheaded this probably at least 20 years back. It's in Johnson, right on the Johnson Providence line. Great facility. I both worked there and volunteered there. It's just a great opportunity to get kids, you know, into the game of golf. All the equipment is there, so they just basically come. Obviously they run programs for kids in the inner city, but you know, kids all over the state. I mean, all these kids get together and, you know, learn the game together. And it's a great facility in great condition. They have a grass range tee box as well as, you know, huge putting greens with undulation. It's just a great facility. I'm so happy that you're going to be talking with the First Tee of Massachusetts today.
Yeah, and I appreciate it, Matt. Thanks for the call. Listen, the Buttonhole is, you know, one of these facilities that's and organizations that's lucky enough to have, you know, a dedicated facility for what they're doing, if I'm not mistaken. And First Tee is, they're lucky to have any number of places. And when I speak with Kyle Harris here in a minute, he'll go over the places where the First Tee in Massachusetts is currently operating. But I believe they do it pretty much everywhere without their own dedicated facility. So, you know, there are issues with trying to find spaces where you can do it. And I tell you the one thing, though, and the conversation you'll hear, it took place with Kyle yesterday. So I already know that he's going to tell us that they have no issues with getting kids involved, which is great. You know, they don't have a problem with signups. And unfortunately, because of COVID this year, I think they may have had to turn some kids away. But the fact is, they, you know, during normal circumstances, they don't want to turn anybody away, and they try not to. And, you know, the only issues they face really are, you know, sometimes just getting, like, facilities to hold the programs. And, you know, Buttonhole's another one. If it means getting more people involved playing the game, I'm all for it. And the easiest way to do it, you know, in terms of having long-term success, is with kids. Get kids playing so that they'll play as teenagers, and then they'll play as young adults, and they'll keep playing, right? But, if you know, anyone who's brand new to the game, yes, start, get some clubs, take a lesson, hit the range, start playing, you know? And growing the game is important, not just from a standpoint of having more people to, you know, play golf with and talk golf with and enjoy what I think is the greatest of sports. But it helps all of us, because the more people playing, the better the odds are that these courses stay in business and we have places to play. You know, it's not, you know, all because, you know, oh, I'm doing everything for the kids. Yes, I'd like to see kids playing golf, my own kids. I want them to get into the game because I think it's a great game. But this, you know, this serves multiple purposes, and among them is the fact that we'll keep these facilities operating and running much longer if there are more people out there playing. That's what it boils down to. All right, let's get to the Safeway Open here, which is taking place this weekend. Once again, it started a couple of days ago. The brand new PGA Tour season for 2020 and 2021 already underway. 4 days after the old one wrapped, the new one is underway. Sam Burns is your leader at 15 under par. Who exactly? This is part of this early season in golf. Why do they even have these tournaments? You know, why not just wait until January and have the PGA Tour start in Hawaii? You know, that's when I think a lot of people start paying attention. If you're a golf fan that watches anything outside of the majors, there's a lot of people who don't bother watching, you know, this early on in the year. It feels a little bit like preseason. The reason for the season is that a lot of players in this field, and there are some big names in it, you know, Mickelson, Spieth, Harold Varner III, who has been, you know, sniffing around the leaderboard at majors, Sergio Garcia. You know, there are big names involved for various reasons, but there's a lot on the line in terms of the players who are less successful on tour in other times of the year. We're talking 500, FedEx Cup points. Here we go with the FedEx Cup points again. 26 official world golf ranking points, and let's face it, some money. You know, there are a lot of guys out there on tour who are, I don't want to say that they're struggling, but, you know, Brendan Steele is a good example. Brendan Steele has been on this show before. He's a guy who has, you know, two wins at the Safeway Open going back over the years. It's a nearly a $1.2 million paycheck to the winner. You know, Brendan Steele, throughout the course of the rest of the season, may find himself finishing in 50th place if he makes the cut and making $17,000. He might miss the cut a couple of weeks in a row. And again, I'm not saying he's starving, but it's not the guaranteed money that you get in other sports or even – you know, and even if you're playing on a non-guaranteed contract, you could be a crap player on a lot of different teams and a lot of different sports and still make a nice living. If you're a crap player on the PGA Tour, you're not making anything. You're literally making no money other than maybe, you know, some sponsorship dollars from having a logo on your hat and bag and you know, something that your caddy walks around with. So to say these guys need the money may be a bit of a misleading statement, but the fact is they need the money. So this is an opportunity for a bunch of guys like our leader, Sam Burns, Harry Higgs, who is in second right now, Cameron Percy, who is in a tie for third, to go out there and earn a nice paycheck in a field that, let's face it, is not as strong as other fields they will face throughout the rest of the year. Rob Oppenheim, another great example, phenomenal player, guy from the North Shore, Salem, Massachusetts. He's 10 under par. Rob is a really, really good player who has, you know, started, you know, his junior golf around here, played on the Canadian Tour. He's been on the PGA Tour on and off, making cuts, missing cuts. It's tough for a guy like Rob Oppenheim to break through and to stay on the tour unless he has tournaments like this to play in where he can hopefully hang on, have a good weekend. Right now, he's in 13th place for the tournament. If he hangs on just to that spot, 13th place is $140,000 for Rob Oppenheim at the end of this tournament. It's not life-changing money, but it could very well be career-changing money and the start of enough to keep him on the tour for another year, get some FedEx Cup points and the rest. So that's why these tournaments take place, and you know, watch as much as you want, you know. No one's forcing you to watch the Safeway Open. If you think it doesn't matter and you don't care, fine, so be it. I don't blame you. But, you know, you do get a chance to watch Phil Mickelson, right? He's 6 under for the tournament. He's out there playing. I mentioned a couple other players are out there. You want to watch, you know, Sergio maybe have a meltdown. Whoops, too late. He already missed the cut. 72-69. Sergio, go bye-bye. All right, as I said, some unfortunate news from John Daly. This came out of, like, nowhere. John Daly has revealed that he is battling cancer. This was during a Golf Channel instructional show. He said he underwent a procedure to treat bladder cancer and to have the cancer removed, but he was told there's a good chance of reoccurrence. Here's a quote from John Daly. My urologist said there's an 85% chance it comes back. So I've got to go back and see him in 3 months. They will probably have to cut it out again. It's probably going to come back. And then another 3 months that you don't know. You just don't know. Luckily for me, they caught it early, but bladder cancer is something I don't know all the details, but it doesn't look like it may go away. We'll just see what happens. Maybe there is a miracle. So, you know, Daly is still out there. He's playing in a lot of Champions Tour events. He withdrew from an event at the Charles Schwab Series in Missouri just last month. Said he had been having back pain. Said he was dealing with kidney stones. He ended up, you know, getting checked out, and that's when they found the bladder cancer was an issue for him. In terms of his health and how he's dealing with it, we all know about John Daly's, you know, issues over the years. You know, everything from smoking to alcohol and everything else. He did say, another quote from John Daly, I'm cutting way, way back on the Diet Coke and counting minutes before I can have a cigarette. I'm trying to quit smoking. The doctors aren't saying it's too late. Unfortunately, it's a cancer that keeps coming back, but I'm going to listen to them, and I'm going to try and quit smoking. If it comes back, it comes back 6 months to a year if it doesn't go away. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to have some fun. So, hey, John Daly is just one of those guys that I don't know anybody who roots against the guy, you know, and I got a chance to see him playing up close a couple few times in my life. His book is a very entertaining read. Anyone who has hung out with him says you are in for a really, really good time. Very laid back guy, just as likely to go out there and win a Champions Tour event as he is to pull his shirt off and play around barefoot. You know, he is an everyman type of professional golfer, but I wish him the best. All right, let's step aside, take a quick break here, come back. My conversation with Kyle Harris, who is the director or the chief operating, I don't know. He runs the first tee in Massachusetts, put it that way. We got put it into contact with massgolf.org. So my conversation with Kyle Harris in the first tee coming up next here on the Sports Hub Golf Club.
If you want to play below par, keep listening. This is the Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Welcome back to the Sports Hub Golf Club. Joining us now, one of our friends from Mass Golf and MassGolf.org, Kyle Harris, is the director of the First Tee, director of operations, I believe, with the First Tee. Kyle, it's good to have you on the show. How are you?
Thank you very much for having me. I'm doing well, Hardy. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm a big supporter of anything having to do with kids and golf, but I am woefully uninformed when it comes to how the First Tee actually works, because my kids have done some other golf-related activities, but I know First Tee is a lot about getting kids out on the golf course, and you have a charity tournament coming up that we're going to be talking about. It's at TPC Boston, and the registration opened up yesterday, but let's start from the beginning, Kyle. Tell us about First Tee. What exactly is First Tee here in Massachusetts?
That's a great question. So First Tee is a youth development organization. We deliver programs that build character and instill life-enhancing values through the game of golf. So really what that means is that, a kid comes to our program, they're going to learn how to play golf, and they're also going to receive our life skills curriculum, which sounds a little bit like school, but really what it is a series of life skills that are based around our 9 core values, things like respect, responsibility, courtesy, integrity, all things that are built right into the game of golf. And they're going to do it in a safe and encouraging environment. So we have 7 program locations around the state, places like Cranberry Valley, William J. Devine there in Boston. We're all the way out in Springfield. And then we also have a series of in-school and after-school programs that we coordinate in a partnership with our state chapter as well as headquarters down in Florida.
Kyle Harris, he's with First Tee. So give me an example of one of the core values and how you go about like incorporating that into what you do with a First Tee program.
Yeah, that's a great question. And so I'll take one of my favorite ones is sportsmanship. So the core value for that day is sportsmanship. You know, let's just say kids come to class. We might do a quick introduction. You know, what does sportsmanship mean to you? We might, you know, ask people to raise their hand, give a quick answer, give an example, you know, a quick stretching circle, something like that. And then we're into our activities, whether it's a golf analog game where we're talking about distance control, by throwing a tennis ball back and forth. And then we transition that to some small swings and then to some bigger swings where we're actually, trying to implement distance control as our golf skill for that day. But in all of those activities, we hope to seamlessly integrate some element of our core value for that day, which was sportsmanship. So for example, if you're at a hitting station with a partner, you might hit 3 balls and then switch with your partner, who would then hit 3 balls. But as you switch, you're required to do something that would show sportsmanship, whether it's give a high five, give a fist bump. You know, kids get pretty creative. We see chest bumps. You know, they might figure out, just a way to congratulate each other or encourage each other if you just hit a couple of poor shots. There's always some element of the core value built into the activity for the day. So another one would be, respect. Before the kids ever touch a golf club, first thing we do is we learn how to introduce ourselves and shake hands, which of course you do when you go to play the golf course, you play with somebody you don't know, you make introductions at the very beginning. And that's a skill that it's incredible how many people come to our classes without that skill of knowing how to introduce themselves. Again, this is pre-COVID, but knowing how to look someone in the eye, say their name, shake their hand, and then carry on a conversation throughout a round. That's a life skill that we teach through our golf activities.
There's a lot to learn about the game, and I'm sure you could spend days, weeks, hours, years just on mechanics of the golf swing, but you're doing a lot more with the first tee. Kyle Harris is this gentleman's name. So you do have a tournament coming up. I believe the registration just opened up for it, and it's coming up at TPC Boston. How do people get involved with that?
Yeah, so it's our annual fundraiser tournament to support the first tee of Massachusetts. November 2nd at TPC Boston. Registration opened up Friday. People can still register. There's still a couple spots available. We are filling up quickly. We do have public groups open where people can sign up for a foursome. They can also potentially sign up as an individual. We also have a couple of sponsor slots open, but those are going quickly as well. But they can visit firstteemass.org. Again, that's firstteemass.org. And if they click on the events button, they'll see a link to the 14th annual First Tee Massachusetts Charity Golf Tournament, and there'll be a registration link right there on the page.
All right, Kyle. And as far as First Tee programs continuing here as summer has ended, but we're getting into the fall, do you still have activities going on, or are you already planning for next year? What's happening right now?
We do. We have fall programs starting actually starting on Sunday, starting this coming week. We are at capacity in Boston. We are at capacity in Norton. And we are filling up quickly in Springfield and down on the Cape as well. So we are going strong. We've been able to operate since July 6th. We've had to make some changes, of course, through COVID. But we've done the best that we can to accommodate as many spots as we can. We've had to decrease our capacity slightly just to accommodate for social distancing and things. But, you know, as I've encouraged my coaching teams around the state, you know, even if we have to serve 10 less kids, that's still 30 kids that we were able to serve in that particular class. It's a shame that we couldn't serve those 10 more, but we're doing everything we possibly can, given the circumstances, to serve as many kids in the Commonwealth as we can.
All right, Kyle. Tournament info at firstteemass.org. Good luck with the programs that are starting tomorrow and throughout the fall. And, you know, hopefully in the springtime we'll talk again and you guys will be at capacity and things will be a little bit more back to normal.
Well, that's the hope. I really appreciate you having me. And if I may just leave with one quick thought. One thing that makes the First Tee special, if a kid comes to our program, we hope that we make and we create golfers for life. We hope they fall in love with the game of golf. But if a kid comes to our program and never touches a golf club again, they were exposed to at least one of our 9 core values, and they did it in a safe and encouraging environment. And that's a win 100% of the time for me. So I just want to leave you with that thought.
Excellent point, Kyle. And like I said, continued success and good work. And thanks for doing it, Kyle. And we'll definitely be talking again in the spring to find out what's going on next year with the First Tee of Massachusetts.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for your support.
Consider us your radio caddy, the Sports Hub Golf Club, on 88.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, welcome back to the Sports Hub Golf Club. Oh, you like this this music there, Kristen?
Yeah, I like the new beds.
Okay, thank you. It sounded like you were giving me a little bit of crap earlier. I'm sorry. I must have misconstrued what you were saying. It's
nice little change.
Yeah, there we go. Death or glory. This is the Clash. All right. A few things to wrap up here before we hand it back over to Joe Murray, who is going to be on for a couple hours this morning. And thank you to Kyle Harris from the First Tee there in Massachusetts. And part of what Mass Golf does is puts people in touch with other people, you know, or just all about the game of golf. And I appreciate Mass Golf more and more all the time. As a matter of fact, I was speaking with Kat there from Mass Golf earlier this week, and she reminded me that the Mid-Amateur Championship was going on this week. And I was watching with great interest as, once again, Matt Parziali was in the hunt. And if you don't know who Matt is, he is a, he plays out of Brockton. You know, played a lot at DW Field, and now he plays out of Thorny Lee, which is a beautiful country club there in Brockton. Matt has played in the Masters and in the U.S. Open, and he won the U.S. Mid-Amateur a couple of years ago. He was right there in the hunt. He went 67-68 in the first two rounds of the Mass Mid-Amateur Championship. And then Arthur Zelmati from Cranberry Valley, who started his tournament 71-71, comes out of nowhere, shoots a 68 in round three, and ends up winning the tournament. It was so, well, he won in a playoff over Matt Parziali, but a great finish to the Mass Mid-Amateur Championship. So congratulations to Arthur and once again Matt Parziali there for being in the hunt. But so many good Massachusetts players in there in the mix over those last few rounds. It was fun to, you know, kind of watch it from afar. Some other things Mass Golf related, or massgolf.org, I should say. And just check out massgolf.org. We talked about it on the program last weekend and earlier this year. There's so many good resources there for you. There's a 100-hole hike that's raising funds for, again, youth on the course, right? Getting youth on course, getting kids playing the game. A team of four people playing 100 holes of golf to raise funds for the program. You can find more about that on massgolf.org. There's a staycation blog, which is a project that Stephen from Mass Golf started. He's just highlighting different adventures that, you know, golfers can have around the state. So if you are, you know, have been staying home this summer, will continue to stay home or close to home this fall. There's so many good golf courses that we don't either know about or get a chance to play. This is your chance. This is your excuse. Why did you drive all the way out to so-and-so to play? Oh, because, you know, couldn't go anywhere in 2020, remember? So check out Stephen's Mass Golf Staycation blog at massgolf.org. There's a mixed four-ball championship coming up in October. So all of this stuff you can read about and find out more about at massgolf.org. Some little bit of news about the Masters earlier this week. They announced that they are going to be tinkering with the schedule and the start times for the Masters this year so as not to interfere with the NFL. All right. They're going to send the leaders off. And generally, if you watch the Masters, you pretty much know this by now, right? What time do the Masters tee off? Or what time do the leaders tee off on Masters Sunday? It's right around 2 o'clock, after 2 o'clock, right? The Masters finishes up anywhere between 6:30 and I would say 7:30, right? They bleed well into 60 minutes. They're on CBS. Not this year because of two considerations. Daylight is going to be a factor in November and the NFL schedule. So Sean McManus, he's the chairman of CBS Sports, he told Golf Digest that final round coverage of the Masters this year, which is going to be on Sunday, November 15th, will conclude at 2:30 p.m. The leaders won't be going off at 2:30. They will be finishing at 2:30 because they want to be well ahead of CBS's obligation to go ahead with their NFL game coverage that starts at 4:05. He says that time, he said that way it gives us time for a playoff if there is one. And we want a little green jacket time. We want the Butler Cabin interviews and blah, blah, blah. So, oh boy, they're going to be going off early on a Masters set. Also on Saturday, they're going to get off earlier on Saturday because they don't want to mess around with the college football schedule. Who knows what the college football schedule is going to be in 2 months from now and what's actually going to be, you know, who's going to be playing and who's not. But Masters will be happening much earlier in the day this year, especially for the rounds three and four, so that CBS can turn around and get you some football on that same day as well. Before the Masters, though, we will have the U.S. Open next weekend at Winged Foot, and I'm going to recommend to you a Golf Digest video and article that will kind of give you an aerial tour of Winged Foot and just, you know, a couple quick paragraphs about that course and how just, you know, the history of Winged Foot. I'm not talking about when Chairman Phineas T. Barnum. All right. P.T. Barnum didn't start Winged Foot. I'm just saying the history of tournaments there, right? It's unbelievable. What, everything from like Phil Mickelson. What happened to Phil in 2006? And I don't know about this one, the 1974 U.S. Open. I've heard about it. It has a name. They call it the Massacre at Winged Foot. Because in that 1974 U.S. Open, a number of things happened. Jack Nicklaus, arguably the greatest, second greatest player of all time, got to the first green. His first putt rolled off the green. The greens were so fast. Do you know what the cut line was for the 1974 U.S. Open at Winged Foot? What was it? Was it like even? Was it like one over par? Was it 14 over par? That was the cut. If you went out and shot 76-76, oh, you made the cut by two strokes. Actually, a lot more than that. What am I saying? You could go out there and shoot 78-78 and make the cut by two strokes. Hale Irwin won the 74 U.S. Open at Winged Foot, 7 over par. Unbelievable. So there's a great video and a quick article there on Golf Digest that I will recommend to you if you want to learn more about Winged Foot, which is where the U.S. Open will be taking place next week. All right. So that's it for the Sports Hub Golf Club. Joe Murray, is he there? You ready to go, Joe? Anything good?
What's up, Hardy? How you doing, buddy?
Good, good, good. You're going to have any action on the U.S. Open next weekend?
I might. I like to dabble a little bit. I might take like five golfers and, you know, just throw maybe $50 on all of them and see if I come out on top.
I'm going to be prop swapping the crap out of this tournament next weekend. I'm a little bit obsessed with prop swap and what you can do on Saturday of a major golf tournament. And maybe you've heard me talking about it on the air, and I know you know what it is, Joe, but it's sports futures, right? People who buy futures tickets and then post them on Prop Swap. And a lot of them are bought and sold right there on Prop Swap. So it's not like some weird, like, you know, photo of a ticket that somebody has. No, it's all there in plain text form. And you can, if somebody comes out of nowhere, right? Let's say
like
one
Gary
of these guys.
Gary Woodland, maybe? I don't know, somebody like that.
No. I'm talking about like nowhere. Like, take one of these guys who is like, you know, leading the Safeway Open this weekend, right? I would pull one of their names out of a hat if I could even remember who the hell they are. But you take one of these guys who's playing well this weekend, and let's say he's two strokes off the lead after Thursday or Friday. Somebody may have picked up, I guarantee. Somebody picked up this guy, Sam Burns. Okay. Mm-hmm. Somebody bought Sam Burns, spent $5 on a ticket back in March for Sam Burns to win the U.S. Open at 1,000 to 1. Right. So now there's a $5,000 ticket sitting out there on Sam Burns that now you can buy for $50. Mm-hmm. If somebody's just going to sell it on Prop Swap for, you know, and if he's close to the lead after two rounds, yeah, I might buy a few of those tickets. Why not? This can be fun.
Might be a Celtics Eastern Conference champion ticket out there, maybe.
Oh, my God. How much are you you talking Celtics right away here?
Oh, yeah, man. How can we not?
It's what a game. What an unbelievable performance. Marcus Smart. Any conversation about the Celtics and these last few games and why they are where they are, any conversation that doesn't include Marcus Smart, you're doing it wrong.
And it helps my Gordon Hayward take more and more and more the better Marcus Smart plays, but they're going to need him next round for sure.
All right. Joe, I look forward to listening to you, buddy. Thank you very much.
You,
Joe's going to have the headlines here. And next week, final week of the Sports Hub Golf Club, U.S. Open weekend. One more Sports Hub Golf Club for the season next weekend. Kristen Sermon, thank you very much. Happy birthday, Kristen.
Thank you.
Everyone wish Kristen happy birthday when you call in to the Sports Hub here this morning to talk to Joe Murray. He's coming up next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.